I said, we didn't get the phone call at midnight or late into the, or early into the morning saying that there's been a tragedy, your son died in a car accident or something. So for whatever you do, amen, so the sister had lost something, amen, and she still was able to praise the Lord, amen, and say, Lord, you must need him, you must want him right now, God. And she just kept on, keeping on. So we're going to continue to pray for her, amen, and we thank God. We're going to dismiss the children right now. The children are dismissed to your left, amen, my right, and we're going to get ready to receive the word of God. Amen. So let me greet our pastor, amen, on one mind and one accord. Can we greet our pastor with a hearty praise the Lord?
We're not here today just to look at one another. Amen. But we're here to serve the Lord. Can we all say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So we do thank God, amen, for those that are pressing their way. I told my wife, when I woke up this morning, about 3 o'clock this morning, I had a problem too. And I said, you know what? I'm going to let that stop me from getting to church. Amen. So she made me eat and drink some stuff. It did help some, but nevertheless, amen. God has been too good for me. To me, not to make it to church. If I have to crawl to church, I'm making it to church. Because God is good. And I know once you get to church, if I'm in His presence, it's a fullness. In His presence is a
fullness.
On His right hand, there are pleasures in heaven. So we do thank the Lord. We thank God for those that stood in the gap for us while we were away at the National Convention. Amen. We thank God for bringing us to Atlanta, Georgia, and back safely. Amen. Thank God for those of you that are faithful to God. One of the most important things that any of us can do today is be faithful to God. And what we're going to deal with this morning in our subject is not growing weary in doing what is right. Sometimes when you do what's right, it seems like it's in vain. But how many know when you do what's right, God is with you, it'll be all right. So we do thank the Lord for my wife being here as well. For her helping to drive back from Georgia on the way back. Amen. We had a challenge coming from Georgia on the way back because I had a cousin that passed while we were there, and his homeborn service was an hour and a half south of Atlanta. Amen. So in order for us to come home, we had to come back to Atlanta and then to New York. But nevertheless, God is still good. Can we all just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. The song said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus.
Yes.
When I what? Just think of it. Has God done anything good for any of us today? Has God done anything good for you today? If you're here in your right mind and have a reasonable portion of your health, God has done something good for you. So it says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what all that He's done for me, my soul cries out. I give God the highest praise. Amen. Because God church, people get weary. They get tired of doing what's right because it seems like there's no true benefits. Amen. Minister Simon, I did hear your message. You guys, you did an excellent job. And Elder Gibbs, I did hear your message. Amen. You all did an excellent job. Amen. It's good to know that when the pastor leaves, God's still here. It's a bad church if the pastor leaves. And you don't get a word from God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So once again, also we thank God for all of our visitors. We thank God for seeing Brother Arthur and Sister Maria again.
Amen.
How many of God is faithful?
Yeah.
We're not the typical just sit there and look at me church.
That's right.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
We are interactive church.
Right.
So I speak to you, and guess what you do? You
speak
back to me. Amen. Because church shouldn't just be a one-sided event. Amen. We come to church to worship the Lord. But let us stand. As I said, sometimes we get tired of doing the right thing. And I know some of us might be super religious, super holy, super people. They don't feel as though sometimes what I'm doing for God is in vain. But some of us are just regular people, like me. Sometimes you say, Lord, I'm doing all I know to do. It seems like things are not getting better, but they're getting worse. Amen. It seems like, Lord, no matter how hard I try to right my path, I wind up on the wrong path. Well, we're going to deal with that today, amen. I won't try to do a lot of preaching, but I want to do a teaching moment, because we're going to deal with an individual. When you look at it at face value, every odd was stacked against him. But can we say by God? Every odd was stacked against him. He did the right thing, and it seemed like there were no benefits or blessings in doing the right thing. This is one of those holy Bible heroes. He's overshadowed. But nevertheless, God is good. So we're going to start off reading Hebrews, the 6th chapter. We're just going to read verses 10 through 12, and then we're going to drop down and read verses 17 through 19 in Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Amen. And then we'll proceed, and I will give you our message. Do we all have it? The scripture says, for God is not unrighteous to what? Whatever you're doing, God has not forgotten you. Amen. Whatever you're doing, God has not forgotten you. So don't get tired of doing what's right. Amen. Otherwise, you should forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards this thing, and that you have ministered to the saints. And what he said, listen, you can't talk about what you used to do, but they still are ministering. I did for God, but I still am doing for God. Well, if you did it and still are doing it, God is not unrighteous. And God won't forget you. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And we desire that every one of you who show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not, don't get tired of doing right for God. Don't get tired of doing what's right when it seems like even the doors may be closed. Don't be slothful, but follow from them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Verse 17, when God willing, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirm it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is, listen, God cannot lie. God will not lie. If you stand on God's word, God can't lie. Amen. Then we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope. Don't get tired of doing good. There's still hope. God can still make a way. And the hope isn't behind you, the hope is before you. So don't get weary doing good for God. God has your back. Verse 19 says, which hope we have as in. Lord, I don't know how. Lord, I don't know when. But one thing I do know, Lord, is you're going to fix it in your own time. So I have this hope, and it's the anchor of my soul. Hallelujah. And it's both sure and. Amen. Listen, this hope I have is sure. Amen. Once again, We're going to deal, like I said, with an individual who really, the book is about someone else. But I think the person in the book really is the true hero of the book. Even though the name is described to someone else, amen, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. So our message today is, God is not on, who's not unrighteous?
God.
You know, a whole lot of people mess up in church and God because they fail to realize people are unrighteous. People have faults. People have failures. People have shortcomings. And I must confess, even the pastor has problems because we're not perfect. We won't be perfect until we get to heaven. Right? But Jesus said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That means we are to strive for perfection. So man will mess up. Man will come short. But God is not unrighteous. And the scripture says in Genesis that God is the God of all the earth. And shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God is righteous. God doesn't mess up. God doesn't mess your life up. God allows you to go through situations to see how you want to respond to the obstacles that are placed before you. Amen. Because God has your back. And as we proceed in our study, we see that when it seems like the whole world is against you, God will step in. It won't be according to your own understanding or your own likeness. And the second part is your good works will be
rewarded.
Sometimes in church, people have given up on God because they don't feel as though God has rewarded them yet. Can we just stay faithful? Can we stay faithful? So Paul is writing to the Hebrew brethren because the Hebrew are God's original chosen people out of Egypt. The Hebrews went through up, they went through downs. They went through highs, they went through lows. Amen. They went through times experiencing God's pleasure and favor. Then they went through times of receiving God's wrath and discipline. But Paul is reminding them, no matter what you've been through, God is not unrighteous. Well, what does unrighteous mean? Unrighteous means God will not deviate from his word. If God says it in his word, he will not lie. Did we just read that? God won't lie. So if it's in his word, God won't deviate from the word. Now the problem that a lot of people have in church is they're making God's word say something it did not say. But if you allow the word of God to say what it says, then God is not unrighteous. God will not lie. God's word says he is just. God's word says he is faithful. God's word says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Now you got to stand on that promise. Because the devil will try to make you quit on God. Can we say hallelujah? So he says that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. So a lot of times people stop there and say, well, God is not unrighteous. Yes, he's not unrighteous depending on how you live in your life. Right? Because if you give if you plant something, that's what you're going to what? Receive. Now let's go to Galatians, the 6th chapter. Amen. I just want to read a couple of verses in Galatians 6 chapter, verses 7 through 10. So now we're dealing with a righteous God. How many know God is righteous? We may not understand all of his ways. Many times we don't understand what God is doing. But God is still righteous. Hallelujah. This don't mean I'm going to shout. But if I decide to shout, hey, he's been good to me. He deserves a shout. Amen. Galatians, the 6th chapter. Now, it's my desire today, when you leave today, I want you to leave with full confidence in God. Stop looking at people. People are not the church. Right? People are not. We make up the church, but that's not the church. Every last one of us individually are the church. So your church is only as strong as you are in God. Are you with me? So if you're not where you want to be in God, then your church is not in the place that it should be because we are the church.
because that means God will be unrighteous. That means that God will be a liar. That means that God will not stand on his word. Amen. And we read, what about two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to tell a lie? So what I love about God is, I don't need you when I need to talk to God about my problems. Amen. I can go to God and say, Lord, this is what your word says. Now I know how I've been living. Lord, I've been sowing nothing but good seeds. Maybe I don't reap it right now, but eventually I will reap the seed. Amen. So whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Some of us might be like the Chinese bamboo tree. The Chinese bamboo tree, and this is what we have to see when we see God. You plant the tree, the first year, you nurture it, you water it, you fertilize it, and you don't see nothing. The Chinese bamboo tree, y'all can look it up, I thought y'all can check it out. Anyway. The second year, you do the same thing, you water it, you fertilize it, you take care of it, you nurture it, and guess what you see? Nothing. The third year, you do the same thing, and after a while, wait a minute, I've been watering this tree. Because I don't see nothing. I mean, how many of y'all have planted a flower after 2 years, you know, keep watering the flower? Because you don't see anything. But the fifth year of the Chinese bamboo tree, when you begin, it begins to grow. And within a year, it grows to 60 feet tall. Amen. So what happened all those other years? You were nurturing. You were preparing it for growth. Well, guess what God does in our lives sometimes? He's warming us. He's fertilizing us. He's feeding us with his word. We don't see nothing yet. Lord, oh, will God change your situation around? In a grove of the night. They say the grand man bamboo tree grows so fast, it looks like it's growing overnight. Right? But what happened? The person that planted the tree has to be faithful in taking care of it. It's the same thing in our spiritual life. Lord, maybe I don't see it yet, but I still want to be faithful in taking care of what God has promised me. Lord, I've been watering my life. I've been fertilizing my life. I've been sowing in the seed of the word, and I don't see nothing, but I'm going to be faithful. Amen. Because when God turns your situation around, he will turn it around. Verse 8 says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall reap. Shall the flesh reap corruption? He that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life? And let us not be weary in. Don't get tired of doing good. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. Be not weary in well doing, for in there's a seed. Your season is coming. Your season of blessings is coming. Your season of growth is coming. So don't be weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. And then in the fifth verse says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to who we feel like doing good to. You have to do good to who? All men. You can't say, well, I just do good to you and I won't do good to this man. Then you're sowing to the flesh and not to the spirit. Amen. When you pick and choose who you're going to be good to, that's not what God wants. Amen. If you examine yourself, then God won't have to examine you. So today is about being truthful. It's about being honest. It's about you know yourself better than anybody else. You know if you've been doing good, and you know if you haven't been doing good. Amen. So don't get weary if you've been doing good. No, sometimes we do good and say, well, it doesn't make a difference. I remember when I did do good, I'm in the same condition and position now as when I was doing good. So we go ahead and ask, what difference does it make? Hold Sometimes people influence us way too much. Sometimes people force us. And ringing in our ears than God's voice. Amen. You'll say, well, I know God says this, then some super spiritual, religious, holy person will come back and say, well, that's not what God meant. If God said it, God meant it. Can we say hallelujah? But Romans 3:4 says, God forbid that God
be true.
That who be true?
God.
And that every man be a
liar.
So there is a rival regarding all. And the rivalry is between who? God and man. God has said something, but man is saying the opposite. Who are you going to let be true in your life? Who are you going to let be true in your life? God. So to let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written that thou mightest be justified by in thy saying and mightest overcome when thou art. If you let God be true, no matter what happens, you're going to overcome. You will come out a victor in the end. Can we say hallelujah? Let's go to Psalms, the 92nd chapter. And we're talking about doing good and your work shall be rewarded. And you know personally, how many of us have, Paul tells the Galatian church, he said, you did run well. When we first came to church, we were on fire for God. Nobody could stop us. Nobody could keep us from church. He said, you did run well, but what does? That's the question today. You make an assessment. You did run well. You did testify. You did praise the Lord. But what is hindering you now? Amen. It's not God, because God is faithful. It's not God, because God will not lie. So if you are being hindered, where is the hindrance coming from? It's not from God, but it's from man. Amen. Psalm 92:15 says, to show that God is. I mean, that means God will not lie. God is not unjust. God will not deceive you. God will not mislead you. Unrighteously, they will deceive you. They will misguide you. They'll lead you in the wrong way. But it says that God is what? God is upright. And he is my rock. And there is. There's no unrighteousness in God. So some of us might be at the crossroads in our life. Do I want to accept God's word, or don't I want to accept God's word? God's word is true. The only thing that messes any of our lives up concerning the word of God is we listen too much to people and not to God. If you're in your prime time, and this is what I love about God, I love to pray for my wife and read the Bible. But in my private time, when I need an answer, when I need God to really help me, I go to God for myself. I don't need a church to go to God. I can go to God for myself. And I can put my petition out to God. And the Bible says, ask and ye what? Shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door
shall
open. So my question is, let me ask you this. How many of you have been asking? And you didn't receive. How many have been seeking and you haven't found? How many have been? And the door hasn't been opened. The fault is not in God. Amen. James says sometimes we ask for something, but we ask with the wrong motives. We ask for this. Ask God to lead me. Lord, guide me. How many really want to be saved and go to heaven? Come on, how many want to be saved and go to heaven? There's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can get to the heaven or to the Father but by me. So a lot of us are trying to get to heaven, but we're not doing it God's way. Can we just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
All right, I'm going to go through quite a few more scriptures. And if we don't get through it, y'all just, we're hanging.
All right, I trust God.
Psalms 84, verses 11 through 12. Like I said, I usually try to teach, preach, but I want us today, when we Israel. The Lord will give grace and glory. No. When he said, no good thing will be withheld from them that walketh. If you walk according to the integrity and truthfulness of your heart, God will withhold no good thing for you. Somebody say, I've been walking up like God told me. God is not holding it. He's just waiting to see if you want to continue to be faithful. Just like all of us, we have children. We make our children a promise. We say, I'm going to give you this. But then if our children get out of line, what do? We hold back that promise. Because if we reward them in bad behavior, they will never have good behavior. But God is the same way. God said, listen, I got a blessing and it has your name on it. But I can't give you the blessing till you walk in obedience. Because if I bless you while you're disobedient, why are you going to be obedient? Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Does everybody understand that? So God won't bless you in disobedience. Because he's trying to get you obedient, but he still has a blessing with your name on it. And the latter verse says, oh Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in thee. So we're dealing with being faithful to God. How many just want to be faithful?
Amen.
Listen, I come to church if nobody else come to church. Right. Some of us would be like this. We go to church, and we look at the door and say, oh, nobody else is there. I'm going to leave too. That's not faithful. Because you're not being faithful to God. If you come to church and nobody in the church but you, say, Lord, I'm faithful. And I trust you, Lord. I'm going to ask.
Now, please, don't ever come. Don't put me on the spot. Don't ever think about coming to the door and don't be nobody here but you. I'm just giving this as an example. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so when it's church, come to church. Right? Because if everybody come to church, the church would be full. If everybody was here today, they should be here for whatever reason. We don't know why they're not here. Right? The church would be full. So I don't come to church based on you. I come to church based on who God is and how faithful God has been to me. Amen. When I look at my life, and I look at so many others that are going through the same thing that I went through, and they're not here, when I look at some of my friends who were growing up, they're wound up in their own institution for being strung out on drugs and alcohol and didn't even know who their family was, I know God's been good to me. So I don't have to worry about what God has done for you. I know what he's done for me. That's why the song says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, and I thank God for saving me.
And when the enemy comes in and fights against you, and God fights for you, Be faithful. Faithful to what? Well, everything in your mind is not the man of God. No, that's not faithful. Everything in your way, that's who you need, God. That's what God can make a way for you out of. That's when you get to the Red Sea in front of you and you have an obstacle you can't go for. And the enemy is closing in behind you. That's when you need God. Anybody feel like your whole world is caving in? That's when you need God. That's when you have to be faithful. And you'll see that God will step in right on time. The devil will try to get close to you and God will pull up a shield. The enemy will try to attack you and God will be your shield. And the enemy said, I don't know why I can't get to you. Every time I try to get you, something pops in. I've been faithful to God, so God's been faithful to me. So how can the devil get to God? How can the enemy get to God? The enemy's trying to get you, but God is standing between us. He's a wall around us. He's our protector. He's our shield. You've been faithful to God. How many have been faithful? Now, I didn't put y'all on the spot. Wait for your heart. How many have been faithful to God in your heart? Where have you been? So you've been faithful, but has anything moved you? I've been faithful to God, but have you been unmoved? Even when it seemed like everything was coming down on me, I had the weight of the world on my shoulder, I didn't move. I stayed in God. I stayed faithful to God. My best friend turned their back on God, but I stayed with God. My spouse didn't want to walk with God, but I stayed with God. I was faithful. Even though I was emotionally broken, I was not moved. I didn't let that move me from my relationship with God. So you have to be faithful. And look at somebody and say, always. You can't pick and choose how you're going to be faithful to God. You got to do it always. Always abounding in the what? Why? Because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So that means you got to stay in God. If everybody turns their back on God, you got to stay in God. And then when I first got saved, I was in college, a whole lot of us got saved, but everybody didn't stay in God. Amen. A lot of them turned their back on God because the allure from the world was greater than the attraction for God. So a lot of them turned their back on God to pursue what they wanted in the world. Amen. But I'm so glad that I stayed with God. That was over 40 years ago. Because they said he could never make it. I'm so glad God didn't read their report. I'm so glad God had his own report. And I knew I was faithful to God. So even though lots of them, Matthew, you remember, because you baptized this man. Right? A lot of them counted me out. But if God is on your side, you don't have to worry about the enemy is here. All right, let's get to our message. Let's go to the book of Esther. We're going to start in the second chapter. I'm going to fill in and I'm going to get as far as I can. The book of Esther is a very interesting book in the Bible. The book of Esther is the only book in the Bible that the name of God is never mentioned. Book of Esther, God is never mentioned. The law is never mentioned in the whole book of Esther. Right. So the book is about Esther. But I submit to you the real hero of the book is Mordecai. And we'll follow the story as we go. Because Esther got into her position because of Mordecai. God blessed her, said, you know, he said, if I perish, I perish. But who's the driving force behind her going to the king? So that's, now I'm going to skip through this, and you all have to read some of the all right? So as for the second chapter, we're going to go to 21 to the 21st verse. Now we know that assurance that kicked Vashti for being queen, and he had a new queen, and the new queen was Esther. And Esther became queen because she followed her uncle, Mordecai's advice. So Mordecai has Esther, now she's getting the king by her palace. But Mordecai is still out on the outside. Now, what we have to realize here is that Mordecai and Esther are prisoners. Right? They are captive. They've been taken from Jerusalem to the palace in Shushan of Babylon. So they are less than a person. But with God on your side.
Yes.
Yes, I'm a prisoner. But God's on my side.
Yes.
So Esther becomes queen. Amen. And then when she becomes queen, God starts doing some things with Mordecai. Let's go to the 21st verse. You have to be in between. It says, in those days while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, because now Esther's queen, so he's sitting in the gate to find out what's happening with his niece, who was Esther. So he's sitting in the gate, two of the king's chamberlain, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door were wroth and sought to lay a hand on King Assurance. And the thing was known to Mordecai. Now he's a prisoner. He's just a servant. He's less than a servant. Mordecai just said, that's not my business. I've been taken from my land. Whatever happened to the king, he deserved it. He came in and then destroyed my whole land. But Mordecai was a good man. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
All right, so he says, and the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther, the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's right name. So he said, King, this is true, and this is my uncle Mordecai's name. Verse 23, and when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out, therefore they were both hanged on a tree. But Mordecai was not rewarded for his good works. It seemed like it was just for God. But how many know it was still written in the Chronicles before the king? Yes, he wasn't rewarded for what he should have been rewarded for at the time, but it was in the book. Everything we do for God is in the book. You may not be rewarded yet, but it's in the book. Now, we're going to skip around. Let's go to Esther, the third chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 and verses 13 through 15. So, Mordecai tells the king finds out it's true, but the king doesn't reward him, doesn't even mention it. All he does is write it in the book. God, if you don't reward me now, please make sure it's in the book.
Yes.
Esther, the third chapter, verse 1. After these things, the king assured to promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, and advance him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And that, he had 127 provinces. Haman was over it all. Right? He blessed him. The king did. Verse 2, and the king's servant that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants which were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's command? And we got to remember Mordecai was a Jew. And Jews knew he didn't bow to anybody but God. You didn't reverence anybody but God. Amen? And it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not to them, that they told him to see whether Mordecai's matter was stand. For he had told them that he was. He said, I'm a Jew, I can't bow and worship a man. I'm like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I only worship the true God. Amen. So you would think now, but you're a servant, you're a slave, you're a So Marty P. Johnson, even though it seems bad, my stand is for God. Can we say hallelujah? And when Haman saw the Lord came up down the mountain, I laid in reverence. Then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hand on Mordecai out long, for they had shown him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy him. He's going to destroy, listen, destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Assyrus, even the people of Mordecai. All right, so he drafts this letter to the king. Let's get down to verse 13. He's drafted the letter that he sends to all the provinces that anyone that's a Jew is going to be killed. Everyone that's a Jew is going to destroy them. Why? Because this man didn't bow to me. This man was faithful to God. This man was unmovable. This man abounded in love and words to God, but he didn't do it to me. So since you didn't do it to me, he said, I'm going to take you out. But how many know that when God's on your side? So he was upset that he didn't do it. So verse 13 says, and the letters were posted, were sent by post into all the king's province. And let's just stick it on to verse 14. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan, and the king and Haman sat down to eat, to drink. But the city of Shushan was, they were confused. Why are we being destroyed? We haven't done anything just because one person has a problem with another, because they won't worship. Don't you worship anybody. Amen. We ought to worship the Lord, and him only shall we serve. Can we say hallelujah? All right, so now let's get to chapter 5. We know the story that Mordecai tells Esther because she's in the palace, and she's a Jew. But she doesn't know that they've been sold to be killed. So he tells Esther, we know the story, Esther, they all fast, and she goes before the king, and the king says, okay, I'm not going to kill you, Esther. What is your petition to the hand of my king? Okay, so now, let's bring us up to chapter 5. It's an interesting story. Read the book. First one says, then came pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. Verse 2, and it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. Now let's go to verse 3. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given to thee to the hand of the kingdom. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Now Haman is coming, he's like, oh, I must be a special person. The only one that's going to the banquet is King and myself. Alright? Verse 9, let's get down to verse 9. Then when Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, then he stood not up nor moved for him. He was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. But when he came home, he sent and called for his friend and his wife Zeresh. And Haman told them the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children, and all the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. And Haman said, moreover, yea, yesterday the queen did bid no man come to the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow I am invited to her also with the king. Now remember that this is one day. There's some events that's going to happen before tomorrow. Because God is involved. Because Mordecai was faithful. Amen? Then it says, then verse 13. Yet all this avail me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him said up there, let a gallows be made 50 cubits high. And tomorrow when you go into the king, ask him that you may have the head of Mordecai. That's what it means. All right, now let's go to chapter 6. Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
just showing you now, it seems like everything is in this boy here, right? Haman is only second to the king. Haman is plotting, conniving to take Mordecai. Now they build a gallows, a wooden structure, so that they can hang Mordecai on the next day. Amen? God does not always work according to what he said. But God will work. Amen? Why? Because he was faithful. And he was unmovable. So verse, chapter 6, verse 1. Now the same night, before Haman was going to ask for the head of Mordecai, God was involved. Right? So you might not see it coming, but be faithful. Verse 1 says, all that night could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the books of the records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. Remember, now this some time, this is well over a year, between Mordecai telling of them trying to kill the king, and now the king says, I can't sleep tonight. I need the books. I need the records. I need you to read in the records some of the things that happened to me while I was king. Isn't it amazing how they go right to the story of Mordecai? Oh Lord, thank you. Because when you're faithful to God, even though the enemy's trying to take you out, he can't take you out. On that night could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of the records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the king says, wait a minute, he did this for me? How do we honor him? What do we do for him for what he's done for me? He saved my life, and we didn't do anything. Time had passed. And it seemed like everything was against him. But then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. And the king said, who's in the court? There are never Haman that's coming to ask the king to hang one of him. But God interrupts the night before he even comes in and has them read a record about something that he's done in the past. Why? God is not unrighteous.
And
you don't have it like that. So God says, Haman takes Mordecai out and he parades him through the streets. Then Haman goes to his house in shame. He goes to his house. Now, he's supposed to make the bank. This is the same thing he's supposed to make the bank for. But God is involved. Because Mordecai was faithful. So he's supposed to be at the banquet. Lord, I'm not going to finish this tonight. I'll finish it Wednesday. Maybe God knows what happens Wednesday stuff. Lord, will I finish it Wednesday? Because I can't finish it. Because they all have to sit another hour. And I don't want y'all to walk out on me. All right. So I said, ow, you've been too long already? So he prays. He goes home in shame. And his wife and his friend said, uh-oh, you're in trouble. Because you're falling before the Jew. He said, you can't make it now because God is fighting for you. You can't make it. You're finished. You're wiped out. All right, so now let's go to chapter 7. All right, we're going to chapter 7. I'm only going to take 5 more minutes. I just want to show you what God is for you. And you're faithful,
yes.
The devil in hell can't do nothing against you. A man can't do nothing. Nobody can do anything. Haman was only second to the king. But he forgot about the God of God. He forgot about the Lord of Lords. And he also forgot about the King of Kings. Amen. So verse 7 says, and the king, well, let me fill in this. So Haman goes to his house. And the king sends for Haman. What are you doing home? He's supposed to be here to me. Right? Because he's embarrassed. He's ashamed. Because the one that he had purposed to kill, God elevated him. Because promotion comes not from the north to the south, nor the east and the west. But promotion comes from God. So the king said for him, he said, what are you doing home? You're supposed to be here at the banquet. Thank God he's not as happy as he was before. He's not as joyful as he had before. So Haman and the king are sitting before Esther, and the king said, well, Esther, what is your petition? Amen. And she said, king, there's a man in your kingdom that is sought to slay all of the Jews. She revealed that she was a Jew, and Mordecai, our uncle, was a Jew, and he's going to slay all the Jews. And the king says to Esther, who is this wicked man? She said, it is Haman. So now the man that had come to take the Jew out is getting ready to take it out himself. Why? Because God was involved. Why? Because he was faithful.
Yes.
And because God is not unrighteous to forget. Maybe time went by, but God did not forget what Haman, what Mordecai had done for the king. Can we say hallelujah? So the king says this to her, and then after he says it to her, after the king, after Esther tells the king, I'm going to fill in the rest of the chapter for you. So Esther tells the king is angry, so he goes out and walks through the garden. So now Haman purposes, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How are you served? By his judgment, and God's ways are past right now. So Haman gets up, they go and talk to the queen to ask the king to spare life, and an angel trips him. Haman, an angel. And he falls on the bed. Keep up with me, child. So he falls on the bed, and when the king comes back in, he says, wait a minute. You mean now you want to force the queen in my presence? He was only going to ask, but he fell in the bed that the queen was laying on. The king got even more angry. You know what he said? He said, get Haman out of here. Then one of his servants said, well, oh, king, Haman has nails 50 foot high that he was going to hang Mordecai out on. The king said, go hang him on his own gallows. Right? Why? Because God was with him. Because Mordecai was faithful. Lord willing, we'll finish this up on Wednesday. You see how God, now, it gets better than that as we go forward. He's a slave. slaves, they're prisoners. But God has the king destroy one of his own people, one of his high ranking officials, because God is God. You got to be faithful to God no matter what. And whether this guy is the president of the union, be faithful to God. You know, but sometimes saints get a little afraid. You at work. Well, if I don't tell it, half truth is a whole lie. Because this guy has more power than I have. And if I be faithful to God, I'm going to lose out. Always remember what he had. Because he was more faithful to God than to anything else. And God turned, so even though Haman had the power, there's no higher power given than the power to deal with God. So as long as you keep God on your side, listen, I won't be the door. And within that, the person in charge said, well, I hear what you say, but I don't believe it. Why? Because you're faithful to God. Don't let people force you in the corner. Don't let people make you be dishonest to God. If my wife, if I tell my wife this, I'm going to be in trouble. If you lie, you're going to be in trouble. I ain't get too many amen. You lie, you're going to be in trouble. Yes, you will appease your wife or your husband's anger. But God knows. Right. You know what? How many want to know what he's saying?
Amen.
What? The book of Revelation says no liars. Don't make it in. Backbiters. Don't make it in. People that are dishonest. They can't make it in. The only way this can make it in is your heart has to be pure. Because only the pure in heart, now this is a time that we all need to examine our hearts. Right? It's not important for me to know. And it's not important for you to impress me or anybody else. God sees us when nobody else sees us. God knows us when no one else knows. So today is about being real with God and the same. And always remember, if you have to make a choice between doing what's right before God as the elders and ministers come forward, if you have to make a choice between doing what's right before God or doing what's right before an individual, do right with God. Because man can only take you so far, but God can work your situation out. So this afternoon, our message is about being honest. It's about being truthful. Amen. Truthful is not what we know. Truthful is what God knows. Amen. Hey, Sister Sarah, I just want to use one other verse. Pull out Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. We're going to go to the last two verses of Ecclesiastes 12. Just to let you know, don't worry about trying to trick or fool anybody. You need to be right with God. Can we just say hallelujah? I just want to read, so we say, well, nobody really knows what I did last night. Guess who knows? Nobody knows what I did yesterday. Guess who knows? Nobody knows what I did when I was on vacation. Nobody knows I was having sticky fingers in bad situations. God knows. Say God knows.
God knows.
Quiet. You know, when you talk about lying, people doing some illegal stuff and wrong stuff, you can get quiet. Let's be honest. Verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the This is the whole matter today, saints. Business and faith. Let us hear the conclusion of the What's the whole matter of life? Why are you living? What's your purpose of being here? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter For God shall bring everything that you've done is in the book. Everything that you've done is in the book. You say, well, there's some stuff I know that people don't know. God knows. Well, how do we know? He says, I mean, where we're working the judgment with every there ain't no secret you can keep from God. You dipping and sipping and doing all that other stuff. God said, wait a minute, you hide from man, but I see you. You doing it in the dark, but the scripture said dark and light are the same. I said, God, he still sees you. So some secret things you've been doing, God said, I'm going to still bring that into judgment with every good and every evil work. So today is all about being right before God. Your whole duty for being here is to fear God.